My subject for this evening is the mystery of angels. I think it was the second night of camp meeting. I saw Harley and I announced to him my subject and asked for this order of worship. And would you believe it? Two of our four camp meeting preachers stole my thunder. The mystery of angels. Hear these words of Scripture. Now there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels were gone away into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And then just a brief word from the end of the life of our Lord. Now after the Sabbath, at the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as the snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. You will see him there." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples the word. Here are two stories. One from the beginning of the ministry of our Lord, and the other for the end of his earthly life. There's a common thread among them. It's angels and their message. These angels are mysterious messengers of the miracle of birth and the miracle of the resurrection. One Sunday about 4 years ago, our pastor at home mentioned angels in his sermon. He indicated that he believed in them. On leaving church, I asked him, "Have you ever preached a sermon on angels?" And he said, "No, I haven't." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "I guess I just don't know enough about them." And I began thinking about myself. Almost 60 years I have held license to preach. And not once in those 60 years have I ever preached a sermon on angels. My excuse is like his: I don't know enough about them. Angelology is very trendy today. We meet it everywhere, even a camp meeting. In the marketplace, the angels are especially prevalent. There are angel magazines. There are angel cookbooks. There's angel perfume. There's angel pasta. There's angel water. There's angel pins. There are angel earrings. And on I could go. A recent Gallup poll indicates that about 72% of the American people believe in angels. That's a little strange, because we are all products of the age of science. I know I am, and I want proof. I've never seen an angel. I have never heard an angel. I have never touched an angel. Can you tell me what an angel tastes like? Can you tell me what an angel smells like? I want some proof, some scientific proof. Such a desire for physical proof misses the point completely. I am told that angels are mentioned in the Bible over 700 times. Would you believe that? I took a little look through the hymnal. I think there must be at least 200 hymns in our own hymnal that mention angels or the heavenly hosts, or in some way refers to these spiritual beings. Anything referred to so often in the scriptures ought to at least cause us to ponder a while. And yet I never preached a sermon on angels. And the excuse I give is I don't know enough about them. Angels are so flimsy. They're so silky. They're so cloudy. They're there and they're gone. They're so mysterious. Ancient mankind didn't have this trouble that I have. Especially in the Near East, they'd go out on the housetops at night and look up at the stars and ponder. To them, every star represented an angel. There were guiding stars and guiding angels. There were guarding stars and guarding angels. It was easy to believe in angels then. The Bible characters also, both in the Old and New Testament, met angels, especially at times of crisis in their lives. The life of Christ is an excellent example. There were angels at his birth, lots of them, in Gethsemane, at the resurrection, at the ascension. Many other Bible characters witnessed to having seen angels and heard their message. Scores of them. Too many to mention here. And still I shrink back. I'm reluctant. Why am I so reluctant? Well, if I told you that I saw an angel on the way to church tonight, you'd start tapping your heads. Don't tell me you wouldn't. You'd say he's gone loco on us. I've never had any personal contact with an angel. In fact, I know so little about them that I ought to be very careful what I say. You ask me, do you believe in angels? I say, sometimes. But sometimes, no. Angels are very vague to me, and yet the scriptures force me to think about them seriously. There are about three questions that I'd like to mention just briefly. First, what is an angel? My first response is, it's a symbol of perfection and innocence. An angel signifies purity and holiness and sanctity. We say that someone has an angelic expression on his face. We mean he appears to be completely innocent. On the other hand, I've been accused of some misdoing or sin. And I respond, I'm no angel. Don't expect me to be perfect. When asked, what is an angel? I would say, on a more serious side, an angel is a creature of God. A creation of God, just as you and I are. God made them a little less than himself, according to the scriptures, and a little more than mankind. Angels are pure spirits with no material bodies. They must have some kind of body because they appear, and then they disappear. Is it a glorified body like the one that Jesus had after the resurrection? Since it's so hard to see an angel and to comprehend what he is like, we ask, do angels have halos over their heads? Do they have wings sprouting from their shoulders? Do they wear a white robe? All of these things miss the point. Angels are a symbol of doing God's will perfectly. They always do God's will. We do not. They are perfect. We are not. They constantly praise God. We do not. Many scriptures declare the reality of angels. And those who have seen them testify that they are very real. Take the story of Jacob when he wrestled with an angel all night and went away limping ever after the rest of his life after his encounter with an angel. Once gone, they can never be called back. Angels never die. So we assume that they're still present, though invisible. Anyone who has ever experienced an angel, according to the scriptures, will never forget it. It's an unforgettable experience. You ponder it over and over again. And that leads me to ask, what is an angel? It's a mystery to most of us. Secondly, I'd like to ask, where do angels live? Where do they dwell? Some scholars believe that there's an upper cosmos God created especially for angels, just like he created the earth for us. But this is so remote, and it's not mentioned in the Bible. I pass it by. At this point, I'm guided by the Lord's Prayer. You said, what? The Lord's Prayer has a lot to say about it. Where do angels live? Our Father, we say, who art in heaven. It seems to suggest that heaven is a place. And God lives there. And that angels live there. If we believe in heaven, it ought to be easy to believe in angels. And we continue to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A place created by God, just as he created the earth. Where is heaven? I can't find it on a map. What direction is it? I don't know whether it's up or down or east or west. But I believe in heaven as a place created by God where he rules supremely. And the last question that I want to ask is, what do angels do? What is their mission? They're messengers of God, always ready to do God's will. A good example of this is the Annunciation, where an angel appeared to Mary and said, Mary, favored one, you have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. You will bear a son. Call his name Jesus. Messenger is what an angel is. A messenger of peace and comfort and fulfillment. These messengers remind us that God is everywhere. That he can speak to us at any moment. And more, they lead us in the worship of God. The scriptures often tell of angels leading us to praise God. Take Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple. And the seraphim were crying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. This is great instruction on how to worship God. Angels do more. They testify to the supremacy of God. We hear about the hosts of heaven, the armies of God. How many are there? Was it Daniel who said, there are 10,000 times 10,000? The point is, there are countless hosts suggesting that God will never be defeated. The armies of heaven will always win. Luther wrote a hymn about this. He said, the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Angels are a symbol of doxology. The doxology goes beyond ordinary worship. Listen to it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This worship rises above our earthly realm. The hosts of heaven lead us and lift us beyond ourselves and all human expression. Yes, angels lead us in praise of God. What a glorious thought. In conclusion, I would like to ask, would you like to meet an angel? You ask me, would I like to meet an angel? It is so popular a fad, as if meeting an angel is desirable. They say that angels are all about us. Some testimonies of angels I believe in. As when a person who is close to death, you've heard these stories. I remember when I was in the eighth grade, I used to go with my father on calls when he went out to visit his parishioners. And I remember one day he took us to the home of our Sunday school superintendent, who was dying of cancer. As a matter of fact, when we walked into the room, he was in a coma. But Dad spoke to him, Brother Johnson. And he responded immediately, wide awake. And Dad said, how is everything? He said, I've seen the other side. It's all right. I have no doubt in my mind that an angel, the Spirit of God, call it whatever you want, he saw clearly, and it was all right. All of us may experience times of crisis in our lives when deep inside us there's an assurance that God's with us. No white-winged angel came, but down inside there was an inner witness that all is well. The forces of the enemy will be defeated, and we shall experience triumph forever. Would you like to meet an angel? Would you believe it? Luther, Martin Luther, the great reformer, prayed that he would never see an angel. He thought the experience was too awesome for these frail lives of ours. He might have heart failure. It might drive him crazy. He might have a seizure. I tend to agree. A favorite hymn of mine says, I asked no dream, no prophet ecstasy, no sudden rending of the veil of clay, no angel visitant, no opening skies. But God, take the dimness of my soul away. I want to be sensitive to the heavenly presence in my life, and I hope that you will be. But I don't care whether I ever meet an angel or not. Still, the richness of meeting Christ and his marvelous grace empties my soul from any desire of wanting to see anything more than he. A gospel song puts it well, speaking of angels. And when they hear salvation story. They will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. There's another way of looking at angels. All of us in our congregations have met devout people who quietly testified every day to the providence of God's love in their lives. They lived very close to God. They walked close to Him. And when they were gone, we've been forced to say, truly an angel was in our midst. We are reminded of the time when those three messengers came to Abraham and Sarah. In the course of the evening meals, they told Abraham that they would have a son. And Sarah laughed. And when they were gone, Abraham chided Sarah and said to her, "We have entertained angels unawares." We need to be more sensitive to God's messengers. It may be that we too entertain angels unaware. Human life, being what it is, a disturbing mixture of good and evil, is still a medium through which we might meet an angel if we were sensitive enough to God's presence. You ask me again, would you like to meet an angel? And I say, if I could stand. I don't know whether I could or not. I'd rather be an angel than meet one. Wouldn't you? To bring hope to somebody, that's angelic. To bring fulfillment to others, that's angelic. To bring peace and joy to others, that's angelic. If I could lead one wandering soul to find God, he would come real to him. That would be the work of an angel. In the process, God and angels become real to me. I hope they do to you.